far surpass. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 9. For if the ministry of condemnations, okay, which is talking about the old covenant, had glory. So it's not true to say that the old covenant is bad. If you read Romans 7:2, Paul makes it very clear that it's not bad. The law is not bad. The law is holy. It's because of the weakness of our flesh. That's why God has to give us the Spirit because of grace to empower us. And the key is to walk by the Spirit. Okay. For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceed much more glory. What is this ministry of righteousness? The work of the Spirit, the new covenant, the covenant of grace, which is the giving of the Holy Spirit within us. Okay, verse 10. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this aspect because of the glory that excelled. Now he's comparing between the old covenant and new covenant. The new covenant far surpassed. Okay. Verse 11. We're going to come to Moses already. I mean, you must understand just how I remember I mentioned this. Moses, no, in the Jewish people, they have highest regard for Moses. So Paul is kind of, am I out of my mind? I'm telling you that we will be greater than Moses, which is true. Because of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, the least of the kingdom will be greater than John the Baptist. That means we are greater than Moses. Why? We are greater than Moses. We are greater than Joshua. We are greater than so on and so on, David and so on. Why? Moses did not have the Holy Spirit that reside in him. Joshua did not have the Holy Spirit reside in him. Do they have power? Yes. But they did not have the Holy Spirit that reside in him. The Holy Spirit worked from the outside. But New Covenant saints is different. The Holy Spirit is inside that works from outside and is with us forever. That is the difference. Huge difference, which Paul trying to emphasize throughout the epistles, that we got to get it right. No, I know some people say, so now when people pray for me, feeling the Holy Spirit from inside or from outside. Okay, technically it's from inside. Out of the belly shall flow living water. I'll explain along the way, okay? I have 10 sessions, so don't worry about it. Let's go to verse 12. Now, Paul thinks that he's a little bit out of the mind because Paul is kind of thinking, oh, man. Okay, now I'm talking about Moses, okay? Verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, because he's going to talk about Moses. You're going to say that we're going to far surpass Moses, okay? Unlike Moses, who put on the veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passed away, because everything fades in Moses' time. All glory fades because God works from the outside, which is different from us. The glory dwells. Because the Holy Spirit worked from the inside. Okay. Verse 14. For their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Covenant because the veil is taken in Christ. Which is talking about the Jewish people. Only when they turn to Christ that they are able to see the glory. It's always in Christ. And because in the name of Jesus that God pours out the Holy Spirit. Let's go to verse 17. I'm going to go quick. Verse 17. Okay, this is a verse that a lot of time we apply it wrongly. A lot of time we use this verse for worship meetings. So the verse says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What does that verse mean? You know, a lot of time we use it to apply for our worship service, you know, because there's the Spirit of the Lord, we can dance, we can jump, we can so on. No, this is not what the verse exactly means. Of course, you can use that for the application, but that's not exactly what the verse means. You say, where, for the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? Where is the Spirit of the Lord? In us. In us. So we can have freedom. No, this word freedom is not we can have freedom to do anything we want. That's not how the Bible defines freedom, especially in this context. We can have freedom from the power of sin. See, freedom in the biblical sense is not we can choose to do anything we want with no consequence because of grace. Freedom is that we have the ability to say no to sin. That is true freedom. Because a lot of time, a lot of us want to be free. But because we are in bondage to sin, we want to say no to sin, but we don't have the abilities. But because of the Holy Spirit, that's what Galatians 5:16 is all about. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature. So there is the true freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We are given power to be free from the power of sin. That's what the entire 2 Corinthians 3 is all about, where Paul is trying to prove to us that there's the greater glory of the new covenant because of the giving of the Holy Spirit. That's what the covenant of grace is all about. Because of the grace of God, more than the forgiveness of sin, He's given us the Holy Spirit where now God dwells in us. Okay, now I'm going to explain to you three primary works of the Holy Spirit. I probably only can cover two because I'm going to give you an application. Three primary works of the Holy Spirit. There are three. Regeneration. You can write it down if you want to. Regeneration. Second, which you are very familiar, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the third one, fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I want to end today by talking about the daily filling of the Holy Spirit. Because baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to prove it to you from the Bible. I know a lot of time there is a little bit of disagreement. Is it one time baptism or multiple time? Okay, let's see what the Bible say. Okay, I know there are all kinds of terms too. Let's use the most biblical. No, baptism, fill, slain, you know, more and more I try not to use the word slain by the Spirit because it doesn't sound very biblical. I still don't want to be slain by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit kissed me, still not too bad. You know, I don't want to be slain by the Holy Spirit, okay? So I'm going to talk about regeneration, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and probably next week I talk about fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Take me to John chapter 3. First one is regeneration. These three primary works of the Holy Spirit, which is very important, yeah. It may overlap a little bit, but they are different. So we need to understand so that we can have clarity, so that we can pray for encounter and experience. Of course, regeneration, much of it, we don't actually feel it, okay. Take me to John chapter 3. In fact, write down these three verses, okay. It's very, because the term regeneration is not a biblical term. That means you cannot find it in the Bible. But it's a term, it's a theological term that describes what the Holy Spirit did at our new birth, which is very important. Okay, because salvation is more than just a decision. At the point of our conversion, something changed. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not about changing your IC. You know, it used to be Malaysian IC. Now it's Singaporean IC. No, something changed. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Even though we don't feel it. But it is very important. Something changed. When we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within us at that moment, instant, live in us, something changed. We are not the same anymore. Something changed. This is not about, you know, this is not about trying to be. I always use an illustration which sounds a little bit crude, but I'm going to use it, okay? A monkey can imitate a man, can talk like a man. I don't know, I haven't seen a monkey talk like a man, behave like a man. But at the end of the day, it's still a monkey. Get what I'm trying to say? Get what I'm trying to say? Christians, being a Christian, it's not about behaving. It's about become. Something change at the point of conversions. You know, John chapter 1 verse. That's why this is very important. Paul say in Ephesians chapter 1, the seal of the Holy Spirit that mark you, because something change. Something changed. You're not trying to behave. You know, suddenly I come to this house of prayer. There are a lot of rules here and there. So I behave. But I walk out of house of prayer, outside, I behave differently. No, something changed. Because at the point of conversion, you invite Jesus into your heart. Not literal Jesus. The Spirit of the living God. Something changed called regeneration. That's what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 is all about. If anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. True or not true? True. You are a new creation. Something changed. It's called regeneration. Just throw it down. Write this verse down. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. Because the Spirit of God came in and joined with our spirit man. Our spirit man comes alive. Before we get saved, that is the spirit man, but it's dead. Now the spirit man comes alive because we are joined with the Holy Spirit. Something changed. There is a transformation, instant. That's it. You don't have to do anything because the Holy Spirit changed. Change, no, the Holy Spirit changed. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. The Holy Spirit changed us from old to become new. That's why John 1 verse 12, whoever who call upon his name, he give us the right to become the children of God. You know what the word become? The word become actually means infusion. Infuse. That means the Spirit of God infused the nature of God in you. Yeah, it sounds strange. I'm just trying to use the word. I know Annabelle. Infusion. You know, it's like, you know, blood transfusion. The blood, blood infusion. You know, suddenly all my human blood is being drained out, and God infused His blood into me. I'm totally changed. We don't feel anything, but we change. I know it's unbelievable, right? That's why you need to read the book Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee. Okay, he gave one of the best presentation about spirit, soul, and body. Okay, which is according to the Bible. We don't feel anything, but something changed. Something happened. The Holy Spirit now is within you. You are new. That's regeneration. We don't necessarily feel it. Sometimes we do. We don't measure by how dramatic is a conversion, but you change. That's why salvation, okay, I just mentioned a little bit. Salvation is about new birth, or we call it conversion, or call it reborn. Western Christianity based the assurance of salvation upon that decision, whether it's December 12, 1983. That's not how the Bible teaches. Bible teaches salvation, that means something changed at the moment. Eventually, your life will begin to progressively change called transformation. That's the walking out process. That is the key thing. Something changed. Turn with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. I've got to run through quickly. Then I talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's very important. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, write down this verse 2. I have no time to run to it. Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14. Because the Holy Spirit comes with it. No, it's more than the forgiveness of sin. Salvation is more than the forgiveness of sin. That is huge. But salvation means something changed. You are given a new nature. You are given the new nature. You are changed. New creation. You say, yeah, but I still struggle. See, that's why there's this spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is totally new. Your soul is progressively being transformed. Called sanctification. Your body will never improve upon. That's why you get old, you get tired. You know. That's why we are waiting for Jesus to return. We are given a new body. But that is the process of salvation. Something change. I throw in one more, which is huge. Okay, I took a lot of time to explain, but it's vital for us to understand. Okay, fasten your seatbelt. But it's biblical. We no longer have sinful nature. That's not what the Bible teaches. How come I still struggle with sin? Listen to this. There's a huge difference. We no longer have sinful nature, but our sinful impulse still lingers on. That's where we need to overcome and cause our new nature to come out by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's called regeneration. It's the key thing, okay? John chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, okay? I'm going to run through a few verses, okay? This is one classic chapter that talks about regeneration because Nicodemus, okay, Jesus is talking, or rather, Nicodemus was asking Jesus, you know, how can I get saved? Because Nicodemus tried to, and he's a Pharisee, or rather, he was a Pharisee. He tried to enter the kingdom of God by keeping law and religious rites or cultivate virtue and good behavior. That is not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is not about behavior. Christianity is about conversion and transformations. That's what Nicodemus is trying to sort out. He went to Jesus. He said this in verse 3. Jesus answered in verse 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus makes it very clear. Something has to change. It's called regeneration. That's why in verse 5, again, I'm going to go quickly because I'm going to go into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, he talks about two things. You have to be born of water and then born of the Spirit. Okay, you have to be born of water and you have to be born of Spirit. Of course, Nicodemus, I kind of suspect he must be a bris knowledge guy or intellectual guy. How can someone enter the mother's womb and born again? No, have you thought about that? No, Jesus kind of like, well, you have to be born of water and born of the Spirit. What does born of water and born of Spirit means? Okay, the Bible, actually the Greek word means washing of water, primarily point to the work of the cross. The precious blood of Jesus. When you talk about the born of water, that means because of the work of the cross, Jesus imputed that righteousness within us. Okay, second, born of the Spirit. I'm going to say quick. Born of the Spirit. The working of the Holy Spirit at our new birth, we become a new creation. It's called regeneration. Regeneration. We need to know it. And then we need to renew our mind with that reality, with that truth. Because transformation begins with the renewing of our mind. The moment we are saved in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and he does a new work and we are regenerated. We are changed. Second works of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what is a baptism of the Holy Spirit? But you have to get this clear. Okay, you'll get this clear. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. If you are a true, sincere believer, okay, just write this now. No time to turn to it again. Romans 8, verse 9. Paul makes it very clear. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. But not every believer are necessarily baptized by the Holy Spirit. Got it? I know. Challenge some of the theological... what do you mean? Okay, very simple. Okay, very simple. Let me just say one more time. Now I explain to you what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every believer has the Holy Spirit. You cannot be a believer with no Holy Spirit, because being a believer is about what? Regeneration. Regeneration is not by works of man. Regeneration is by the Holy Spirit. And the changing into a new nature, you need the Holy Spirit to dwell within you so that your spirit man comes alive. If not, before that, your spirit man is dead. So every believer has the Holy Spirit. Okay? But not every believer is necessarily baptized by the Holy Spirit. There are evidence. Okay? But I don't necessarily agree that speaking in tongues is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's only one of the evidence. There are many evidence of baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know people who are baptized, spirit-filled, walking by the power and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. They don't speak in tongues. So don't tell people, oh, you don't speak in tongues. You're not baptized by the Holy Spirit. And on the other hand, I know many people pray in tongues, they are as carnal as they are. So it's just one, okay? If I have time, I give you 7 or 8 evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Speaking in tongues is only one of them. Okay, so it's a, let's write out some verses. I really have no time, okay? Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Acts 1, verse 4. Luke 24, verse 9. Acts 1. Verse 4, it's a promise by Jesus that God is going to send the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Okay, it's different from regeneration. Because every believer has the Holy Spirit that is within us. Give you a few examples. Take me to John 20. John 20. John 20, verse 21. Regeneration and baptism of the Holy Spirit is two different experiences. And Bible has a third term. Okay, I know it's going to be even more confused about you. Actually, it's not that hard. It's quite easy to sort out. Bible has a third term called filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's quite different. Filling of the Holy Spirit is a daily affair. It's a daily affair. But you need to have the one-time baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, turn me to John 20, verse 22. Remember, in the Old Covenant, the Spirit of God doesn't dwell within us. Amen? Got it? It's fundamental. I know some of you are like confused. Oh, wow, no. In, out, what, this. Don't worry, you'll figure out. Just wrestle. No, the Holy Spirit will help you. Okay? But after Jesus died, crucified on the cross, 3 days in hell, he resurrected, he came. And the Holy Spirit is beginning to release the regeneration, because the Holy Spirit is beginning to live in every believer. John chapter 20, verse 22. There's an interesting incident. Go and read on your own. John chapter 20, verse 22. Jesus came. What did he do? He stood in front of the disciples. He breathed the Holy Spirit on them. He breathed the Holy Spirit from them. From that point onwards, everyone who called upon the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwell within us. You know, it's a parallel act like Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. What happened in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? God the Father breathed his breath upon Adam. Adam comes alive. Remember, that's why I proved to you that Adam was created as a spirit being. He has spirit, soul, and body, but after he ate the apple, not the apple, knowledge of good and evil, his sin, his spirit died. But it's the same act. If the regeneration of the spirit is the same as baptism of Holy Spirit, why? Much later, in Luke 24 and Acts 1, Jesus said, wait. Wait in the upper room until I send the Holy Spirit and be baptized. It's too different. One more. I have no time to turn to it. Acts 8 and Acts 9, or Acts 19 is even clearer. Paul went to Ephesus. He met a group of disciples. He asked them a very interesting question. What kind of baptism do you know? Oh, you know the water baptism by John. Were you baptized by the Holy Spirit? Acts 19 specifically used the term disciples. The Bible is very clear. Disciple has to be true, authentic believer of Jesus Christ. No, not like now. Everybody can call disciple, but they may or may not know the Lord. That's the key thing. So they have not been baptized. So Paul lay hands. And then we begin to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. So there's a second work of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to go quick, okay? So what is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Don't know. Traditionally, we always talk about empowerment for believer for ministry and great commissions. No, there's something much more. Something much more. Okay, again, I have no time to run through it. Go and read on your own. Luke 9, verse 1 to 6. Luke, actually, is in a few passage of scripture in the four or three gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, Jesus sent the disciples out. What did they do? They cast out demons. They do healing. They perform signs and wonders. Were they baptized by the Holy Spirit yet? Were they? No. I know they are past teaching or whatever your understanding. I challenge you to go and search through the scripture. They cast out demons. That's why Jesus, when they went back, they were very happy. Jesus said, don't rejoice because you cast out demons. Rejoice because your name is written in the book of life. They performed signs, wonders, and miracles. But was the baptism of the Holy Spirit poured yet? Not yet. So baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than just for ministry. You know what? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, I have no time to run through it, okay? Baptism of the Holy Spirit is empowerment for us to live victoriously as a believer. It's like the activation of the power within us to walk in victory. The power that is within us. Write this down. I'm going to run through one verse for you. Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 20. Where Paul talks about within us there is this power of resurrection. That we can walk in victory. 2 Peter, tell me the 2 Peter. 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Verse chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. The primary purpose why God give us the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than just for ministry. Because healing, which we're going to talk about it tomorrow to the youth, we're going to release them into the gift of the Holy Spirit. Healing, miracles, casting out of demons is primarily in the name of Jesus. A lot of time we get hung up about anointing. No, it's in the name of Jesus. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to empower us to walk victoriously. I'll show you another one after I run through 2 Peter chapter 1. Acts 3, or rather Acts 2, where the book of Acts gives us a very clear sequence of salvation experience. Why? Why does the Lord give us the Holy Spirit or command us to receive or be baptized by the Holy Spirit? So that it will make our life easier? No. so that we can have victory. We can walk in victory. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things. We are given the divine power. Peter, again, like Paul in Ephesians 1, is not asking us to contend or ask. He's letting us know that we have given this divine power. Who is that divine power? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. God has given us the divine power because of our knowledge of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. By which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Remember, I lay out 5 promises that God has for us as believers: intimacy, fruitfulness, so on and so on. These are all our inheritance. But God has given us the power so that we can reach and walk out that inheritance, the fullness that God has for us. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through this, that you may be partaker of the divine nature. That means the quality of the life of God, we can participate with Him. It's called abundant life. Abundant life is not about behaving. Yes, there's a place to do. There's a place to respond. It's about tapping on the power of God that is within us. Let's go one more verse. One more verse. Why? The giving and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter makes it very clear. So that you have the power to add to all this virtue. That means grow in all this virtue. God didn't give us the Holy Spirit to make our life better, our study more successful, or get more grades. I mean, if that's part of the call, yes, He will help you. But it's to empower us so that we become conformed to be like Christ. That's the key thing. That's where verse 5. I tell this very interesting verse because a lot of time when we talk about Christian discipline, a lot of time we talk about there's option. Paul or Peter, a lot of times say there's no option. Do it. Do it. He said this, verse 5. In the context of the power that is given unto us, which is the Holy Spirit that is indwelling in us. Peter said this, but also for this very reason. What is the very reason? Peter said, for this very reason. What is the very reason? The power that is given to you and me. What should we do? Giving all diligence or making every effort to do what? To do what? To add, to grow, to cultivate the virtues that God wants us to have as a believer here on earth until we reach maturity, fullness, victory, more than conqueror. That's where Peter took the next few verses to add virtue to knowledge, to so on and so on and so on and so on, because of the power that is given unto us. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than just empowerment for ministry. The disciples were moving in power before they were baptized. One more verse. Then we're going to end. Acts chapter 3. I probably have no time. I'll do it next week. About the daily filling. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Or rather, Acts chapter 2. That give us even the clear implications. Why the receiving of the Holy Spirit is to obey and to walk with the Lord. That's why more and more we need to preach the gospel or lead people into the kingdom of God correctly. You know, a lot of time the way we preach the gospel is today you say the sinner's prayer, you are saved, you die, you go to heaven. That's only part of the gospel. Receiving Jesus is always about making him as our what? Lord and Savior. A lot of time we only talk about Savior. Jesus was never our Lord. We still do our own thing. I'll show you one verse that makes it very clear. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Because one thing to make Jesus as our Lord 100% of our life humanly is impossible. Impossible. Because we have our flesh. That's why it has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Acts chapter 3. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 28. Give us a very clear sequence about salvation. Firstly is, you're going to read on your own. I'm going to explain to you. Repent. Then you understand why the need for the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not primarily for ministry. Yes, of course, it's part of ministry. Repent. Be baptized. And then, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Repent, be baptized. Water baptism. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2, verse 38. What is repentance? The way that we should preach the gospel is not primarily today you receive Jesus, you die, you go to heaven. That's only part of the gospel. But you search through the Bible and the New Testament, the way that they lead people to Christ, the number one thing that they tell the people is what? Repent. Repent. What did John preach, John the Baptist, when he came? Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. When Jesus came, what did he preach? He didn't say, say the sinner's prayer. Today you die, you go to heaven. What did Jesus say? Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. So what is repentance? Repentance is more than just asking for forgiveness of sin. Repentance basically means turn. Turn. So there's three sequence of salvation process. Repent, be water baptized, be filled or receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What this repentance means? Repentance means turn. It's like you're always walking this way. Along the way, you encounter Jesus. And Jesus said, repent and follow after me right now. You're always walking this way. Now you repent. That means you turn. You follow Jesus right now. Totally. That's why salvation is more than just Jesus as our Savior. He is our Lord. We totally surrender to Him. We totally follow Him. But because of the way we preach the gospel, and a lot of time how people receive salvation is this. I'm going this way, driving my own bus. I met Jesus. Okay, Jesus hopped into my bus. Meanwhile, Jesus is just part of the many things that is in your bus, and you are still going your own way. You haven't really repented yet. You're just living your own life with one more thing in your bus called Jesus. That is not repentance. That's not called repentance. Repentance is you're always this going this way. You met Jesus. You realize that you are a sinner. You have no other way to eternity and that He is God. And say, how can I not repent? How can I not follow you? I need a Savior and I need a Lord. And I turn. Now, no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. I turn 180 degrees, not 360. A lot of us 360. So we still go the same way. Not 360, 180. Now you turn. That's repentance. Now you turn. A lot of time, we are still going the same way. In the name of Jesus, Jesus is just taking one of your seats on your bus. On your bus can be anything. Condominium, education, so on. So on. I'm not saying necessarily that's bad, but that is not about repentance. Repentance is you turn. I no longer live. My life belongs to Jesus. Everything that I live is about the will of God because He is my Lord. I am His servant. He is my master. I am His slave. Thank God He's not just my master and Lord, but He's also my husband. He is so very kind. He's also a savior. But you totally turn. What's the second thing? Baptize. Water baptism. I have no time to talk about water baptism. Water baptism is vital. No, you need to understand the repent part. Then you understand why the third one, you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why the third one is receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You can't do it by your own strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 5 is all about. It's given you the divine power so that you can walk out the victorious life. You can follow Jesus 100%. Zechariah 4, 6 says, not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit. That's why there's a proper sequence. So now you understand why is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It's not primarily for ministries. It's for the empowerment so that we can live a crucified life. Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ Jesus and I no longer live. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and give himself for me. So we no longer live for ourselves. That is what repentance is all about and why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the life that we totally follow Jesus. Amen? So that's the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. So turn 180 degrees. I mean, if Jesus asks you to keep the bus lah. If Jesus wants you to throw away the bus, then throw away the bus. He'll give you a new one. Maybe it's not a new one, maybe a skateboard, you know. Who cares, you know. I'll end with this. Okay, tell me one more verse. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. No, I want to lay this out clearly because God is not going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit to make you more successful in life. That's not how it works. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit so that you can be more Christ-like. That is His number one agenda. Understand now why He gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why He wants us to learn to commune and walk by the Holy Spirit, or fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We should talk about it next week. So that we can become the mature bride of Christ. Not so much your bus can get bigger and nicer. That's not what it is about. Of course, it can be the byproduct. But the key is that He wants you to He wants to empower you so that you can walk out this life where Jesus is the Lord of all of your life. Jim Elliot, tell me the Ephesians 5. Jim Elliot said this: if Jesus is not the Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Have you heard this statement? If Jesus is not the Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Do you know that that practically applies to everyone? Wow. Because I can't say that Jesus is the Lord of all, everything of my life. That means He's not Lord at all. Then it's time for me to repent and ask God for grace. Repent means turn. Repent is more than just crying father, crying mother. Repent is, oh Jesus, this is the way that you want me to walk. I don't have the ability, but I say, turn, turn. So give me grace. Help me, oh Holy Spirit. Help me. Not Holy Spirit empower me so that I'll be more successful. I do this, do that, and so on. That's not, He's not obligated to help you in that. Last one, Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Regeneration of the Spirit is different from baptism of the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time experience, but there's a daily filling with the Holy Spirit that I will give you. I don't think I'll do it today. I have no time, but I just throw it to you so that next week I give you an application. It's not hard to do it because the Bible teaches us. Okay. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. It's a classic verse, you know, most charismatic church will talk about. Do not be drunk with wine, that leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. The term actually means keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily affair. Yes, being filled with the Holy Spirit is a daily affair. And Paul said continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that Paul gave an example of being drunk. Okay, I've never get drunk before because I never really like alcohol except wine. So I don't know anybody ever get drunk on wine. You know? Do we? Can you get drunk on wine? Okay, maybe I haven't drunk enough. Okay, yeah. Now, how do you get drunk? Why? Yeah. How do you get drunk? Okay, I've asked Amos. Okay, Amos said last time he used to drink. Okay, to go. Okay, I mean, he's repented, changed, you know. I asked some friend, how do you get drunk? You know, no, tell me how continuously remain drunk. How do you get drunk continuously? How? Keep drinking. Why? No, keep drinking liquor. Keep drinking liquor. Keep drinking liquor. Then you get drunk. Paul is using the same illustration, but of course he's used a negative, then use it to prove the positive. How do you get filled with the Holy Spirit continuously? Keep drinking the Holy Spirit daily. Paul didn't ask us to go to conference, which is the next verse, which I'll talk about it next week, you know, like to be continued, part two. Let me say a prayer, okay? Because it's kind of past time, yeah. And man, don't worry, we have 10, huh? A week after, next week, I'll be away for a weekend, okay? Yeah, we have 10 series, so don't worry. Because the key is, I want you to give you candles so that you learn to be daily filled by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't cost you anything. It just costs you a response. Whether we will respond to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, you know, is necessary and is so very important. Okay, so let me just say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness in giving us even the Holy Spirit. We ask that more than just having clarity in our doctrine and theology, grant us living understanding of the very work of the Holy Spirit and the reality of the Holy Spirit that is at work within us. Help us, O Holy Spirit. We thank you that your words say that you are the teacher, you are the guide, you are the helper, the counselor. Your desire is to teach and remind us everything that Jesus had taught us, Lord. I pray for even in this season as we are learning and also discovering and having the desire to encounter and walk with you. Teach us, O Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself in greater reality and presence and leadership in our lives so that we can be a people that walk by the Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, be led by the Spirit. I bless you, O Holy Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.